Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to episode 5 of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brannon, the digital content developer on the GCI media team, an avid high fiver, and a fan of 80s and 90s music.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director, and collaboration is one of my core values. I love it when an idea is taken and it's just refined in community. I think that just reflects who God is, and I think that's what makes me excited about sharing this episode.
Yes.
Which, episode 5, can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it. We're on 5 episodes. It's crazy. And it's hard to believe that we're 5 episodes in, because we only release this once a month, and that means that we're already 5 months into 2019. Well, I guess 4 months. 4 months in, because we had one episode in December.
Yeah.
So it's just like, wow, time is flying. We're having a blast.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Of course.
But we are so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. And today we have a little bit of a different episode. And I like how you kind of tied it in about you love collaboration, because that's what this episode is about. I was able to sit down with Pastor Mike Ermey and husband and wife duo CJ and Lucas Malmcar. They are 3 leaders in the GCI congregation located in Surry Hills, Oklahoma. Yes, you heard that correctly. 3 people on the podcast. It was the first ever. The studio was full.
And I'm sure full of fun and energy good ideas.
Yeah. I mean, these are some of my best friends, because I'm from that area.
Yes.
So, yeah, we had an
absolute
blast.
Solid people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. They get to share their experience and journey of doing a regional youth camp for many years and then going through a transition, transitional challenges. And their journey of then reimagining camp and becoming a neighborhood youth camp. And this interview was a bit long.
Well, there's a lot of good information.
It was. I didn't know how to edit this out, because it was over an hour of recording. But don't freak out. We broke it up into 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. So we found a pretty good spot where we can split it up. So, but we think you're going to enjoy this.
So
we really
do. This month is BOGO.
Yes. Yeah. Buy one, get one. I like that.
Yeah. Bonus.
Bonus. Now, before we jump to the episode, we just want to remind you that GC Podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Search for GC Podcast /, GCI. Subscribe to it, share it, review it, give us feedback. We've been getting a good response. I looked at the analytics, and we've already got like 118 subscribers to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
you guys,
a short amount of time.
It is, because we just went live on these different platforms, what, like a month ago, I think? I think it was last episode is when we announced it. So also, reminder of the regional celebrations. It's the once called regional conferences. It's now time to celebrate on what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are doing in our churches. Now, the GCI regional celebrations registration is still open, but it's only for a few regions now. So the registration for the Western celebration, which is in Portland, Oregon, unfortunately is now closed, because they're about to have their celebration in just probably a week or two.
The weekend after this releases.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So you can't make it to that one. However, you can still register for the celebration in Dallas, Texas, but that's closing April 15th, so you better get on that quickly. Mm-hmm. That's only a couple weeks away when this is released. And then the celebration in Charlotte, North Carolina, that is closing April 30th. So there's only 1 month left, a couple weeks, and then 1 month for 2 of the celebrations. So if you are in those regions and you want to go to that celebration, you better get registered.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just going to be a good time, but a lot of the ideas and concepts we talk about on this podcast, they're going to be broken out in the main sessions there. And so you don't want to miss out.
You don't want to miss out. So go to gci.org/events for exact dates, schedules for each celebration, and to register. You will not want to miss that. Now, let's jump into this part one of episode 5 and my conversation with Mike Ermey and CJ and Lucas Malmkar about reimagining youth camp. In the GCI studio, we have a crowd with us.
Woo-hoo!
Some amazing friends of
Power
mine.
Numbers.
Yes. Got Pastor Mike Ermey and CJ and Lucas Malmkar.
Yes.
I'm very proud of myself for getting y'all's last name right.
Got it.
We're proud of you, Joe. We're proud of you.
It's all right. I've heard it butchered plenty of times.
And I am very excited about having this group of people in here. First of all, this is the first time that we've had this many people on the podcast.
Hey, yeah. History is made again.
Yes, it is.
Everything.
Yes.
Good things happen in threes.
That's very true. So this is probably going to be the best podcast ever.
Yeah. Well, of course.
I can't say that. Because I listened to your podcast with your wife, and you said it was going to be the best ever.
So we've got, don't tell her that. So we've got CJ and Lucas Malmkar. They are a husband and wife power duo. Definitely, if you get to know CJ and Lucas, you know right off the bat that they're amazing people, and they love God tremendously. They are heavily involved in ministry. CJ leads worship. I know Lucas is involved in the worship team there. They both lead the teen ministry. They both run a mobile coffee shop called A Latte Love, and they are definitely two proud parents of two great young boys. And they do so much more. We don't have enough time to list everything that they do. Really don't. And then we got Pastor Mike Ermey. He's a senior pastor, camp director, worship leader, husband, father of two kids. Okay, yes. I had two kids on here.
Yep.
Just making sure. And a grandfather of how many grandkids? Well, do you have?
Sort of two, but actually nine.
Okay, that's because I know biologically, but you're a grandfather to many.
When our son married, we actually gained three daughters because the whole set of sisters came and kind of became our daughters, and now their kids are our grandkids too.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That's probably your favorite title. Probably, huh?
I love it. You gotta love it. In fact, they gave me a T-shirt here a little while back. It says, "The best dads get promoted to grandpa."
Hey,
I wear it proudly.
I bet you do. Yeah, I bet you do. All of them are passionate followers of Jesus. They all three love the church, love their community. And I'll tell you what. One of the things that I say about Mike Ermey. And I guess I have to say it about the Malmkars too, is they don't sleep. They just plug into the wall for a few minutes and then they keep going.
Recharge.
I'm pretty sure Lucas is trying to figure out a way to have some kind of like portable charging units that he can just plug in mobily and just keep going.
You know how electric cars, some of them can recharge when they break?
Yes.
So when I say it starts to recharge on its own.
Oh, man.
It's a weird thing. Don't know how it happens.
Lithium ion, baby.
Well, welcome to all three of you to this podcast. I'm very excited to have you guys.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
We are.
Going to be fun.
So we are going to specifically talk about camp ministry because you guys have been involved in camp ministry for a very long time. Actually, all of us have been involved in camp ministry for a long time. Lucas is, I guess you'd say, the newest one within this particular camp ministry, but it's still been, six, 7 years?
Yeah, something like that.
But camp ministry has been a major part of the congregation where you guys serve there in Oklahoma City. So we're going to jump into the camp ministry side. I want you guys to share a little bit about the background, if you don't mind, Mike, about when camp started, as far as the ups and downs and the various experiences.
Yeah, well, you know, our denomination has had, obviously, a heritage of camp ministry going back to the camp at Orr, Minnesota. Greatly beloved by a lot of people. It was, a life experience to be there. But when the time came for that camp to close, there was a great fear that, what do we do now? And there were a few individuals, about five, that got together and had a dream for creating new camps around the country, not just way up in the Northland there, hard to get access for a lot of people in Orr. So they began to create regional camps in various areas of the country. And one of those happened to be kind of in our backyard. It was a crosswalk camp there east of Oklahoma City. And that was started around 2002. And we ran camp there twice a year, actually. We did a spring camp and a fall camp, which was a little unique. Most of the other camps are once a year. We did twice a year, had two opportunities to reach out to young people, you know, in at six-month intervals. And we ran that camp for quite a while, actually over a period of about 15, 16 years. We had 28 camp sessions at a particular location as a region camp, and it served a wide region around our state, from Oklahoma to Arkansas and Kansas and much of Texas and so on. So just a labor of love and something we greatly enjoyed, and over the years served hundreds of young people and their families.
So one of the things that I know, because I was serving there at the time, that we started to experience near the end of Crosswalk at that particular facility, well, we experienced a big shift, first of all. We saw this downturn in the participation from campers. The attendance wasn't very strong. It was starting to take this downturn, and we started questioning why. Why is that not occurring? And so we ended up revamping how we do camp right there. That's about when you guys, CJ and Lucas, when you guys kind of showed up at the scene, when we did this big shift and this refocus, and camp turned around strongly, like big time.
Did big time.
And we had a few more years there at this particular facility. So tell the listeners what happened at the end of that particular facility.
Yeah, well, you know, just prior to that, as you say, there seemed to be somewhat of a decline, and a lot of the young leaders, especially young adults, yourself among them, kind of gathered and refocused on that, prayed about it, discussed it, and there was a refocusing of the camp, which led to a resurgence for a while, and that was to refocus what we were delivering, and there was kind of a new heart or cardia, as we called it, that was rolled out, which became a theme, regardless of the specific theme of any particular camp. It became the underlying theme, and that was to help every one of the campers, as well as the staff, families, and so on, to experience life in God's love. And that just became what we talked about, what we planned for, what we prayed about, what we rolled out to people in invitation to come participate. And that did create somewhat a resurgence as well in the last few years of camp, until we unfortunately had the situation happen that we didn't own the campground. It was something we rented from another organization for many years, a very good relationship, but that organization had a certain growth spurt that happened, and the two weekends that we used for our camps in the spring and the fall were no longer available, and we had to part ways.
So, of course, that was really detrimental just emotionally,
yeah,
because it was such a sweet deal. We got it really cheap, and all of our camps were planned around this facility. I mean, we custom-made things to fit so many different aspects of camp. So we have to move away from that facility as a camp and go on the hunt for a new campgrounds. CJ.
yes.
I know that you were the one that was commissioned or voluntold to find...
I like that, voluntold. That is so funny.
to find this new facility to continue Crosswalk Camp. Not going into too many details, but share just a little bit about what you experienced with that.
It was so frustrating and disheartening because, like you said, we had a sweet deal. And we were able to pass that deal off on to the campers. And with that, we got a lot of inner city kids that, you know, couldn't afford to go to a typical summer camp. And as we start, I can't tell you how many places I looked at and called, and it was either, you know, no heat and air, or, you know, holes in the buildings where critters were coming in and out, or it just, there was always something, and it just, nothing. It was so disheartening and so frustrating. And we kept praying and praying and praying. And finally, God opened a door that had never been opened before.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this new facility was found, a great relationship kind of occurred. I know it was kind of a miracle thing on how God opened up that door. What were some of the big differences and challenges between the previous campgrounds, the new campgrounds, and what is it that you experienced at that new campground?
You want to speak to that? Okay. Well, you know, we as you said, we really benefited from almost an immediate good relationship with that new camp location. There were a few bumps because they had run things in a particular way for their camps for years, generations, and we had to kind of fit into that and help them to feel comfortable with us in our previous relationship with a beautiful campground. They pretty much gave us the keys to everything. They weren't even, the owners of the camp weren't even present when we ran our camps. In the new relationship, they wanted to be there. They were a little more possessive of their grounds and how things were run. So we had a few bumps to get over. But the relationship developed, and actually we had a really good camp experience there. Once we got everything going, mm-hmm. we had a great time for the people. We only ran one camp that particular year because of the time schedules, but it turned out to be a good experience in any case. And we began we got off on the right foot with a good relationship with that organization as well.
And we had a lake.
And we had a lake there, a beautiful lake, yes. And a lot of other good things that we actually, you know, were better than the previous facility.
Yeah, yeah. So there was this new facility, and it was a beautiful campground. I mean, the high ropes course, the tower, the kayaks, the fishing,
the cross lookout point. So many spots for reflection.
Yes,
it was amazing. In yeah. his presence.
Yeah.
That was what was amazing about that place.
It was really beautiful. So share with me, in the meantime, while all this camp stuff was going on, there was certain things going on in Surry Hills. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what was going on in Surry Hills? Because Surry Hills is a community of which a lot of your members now yeah, live.
That's right.
And it's about 3 miles or so east of where the church building that you guys have is located. So it's a community. It's a neighborhood. Surry Hills is. So what was going on in this community?
Well, this is where some of the things, in fact, that CJ was organizing, we were doing a number of outreaches to this particular community. We did have, and we do have, quite a few members who live there. And there just seemed to be a good opportunity to serve some of the families there. So we had several outreaches and had a great response going on, which started to get our attention that, wow, there's something here. And we have a number of people who live nearby and so on. And we began to focus more and more attention to that community.
It's like you wanted to add something to that.
Well, I agree. There was something happening in Surry there was relationship building, just like there was at camp. But the difference was after camp was over, we still saw these people every day because it was in our own neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's where we began to do a bit of soul searching, because we realized while the camp that we had been running, which reached out to these many states, mm-hmm. was serving some families and some pretty good number of families. And we were able to run it twice a year at the previous location, which was good. But still, that's only twice a year, and not everyone made it to every session of camp. And so there wasn't really a tie back to our local church mm-hmm. where we could continue to serve those young people and their families. And that was something we began to look at in terms of our camp ministry. How is this tying into our local church? And therefore, how are we able to more continually serve those individuals, those families, and the specific young people in those families when we only see them once or twice a year.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys were getting more involved in that Surry Hills community, and you were even doing some events there. What kind of traction were you getting at these events?
I mean, turnouts that a lot of people hope for and think that they'll never achieve.
Yeah, and dream turnouts.
Yeah, like 600 people showing up in this parking lot and a bunch of kids running around having a good time, families just getting together. It was amazing. It left us speechless, honestly, to be able to see that kind of turnout with as little of really, it was a lot of work, but it almost seemed effortless. Just because of, I mean, obviously the spirit was moving, but it did make it seem a little bit effortless to me. But there was a lot of labor involved.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a lot of work.
And then I remember Converge of 2017 happened, and Jeff Broadnax got up, and he said, "We have a new vision for the future of camp ministry." And it was interesting because I remember half the room was like, "You know what I mean?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Let's tie these camps back to local churches. What if we started doing community day camps, you know, in our neighborhoods to connect our local church with the community?" And I can just remember I almost started dancing in my seat because I was like, I don't have to sleep with scorpions and spiders overnight. I am in.
You mean I can sleep in my own home?
And not to mention, anybody who's ever done camp knows, no matter how well you prepare, when you're at a campground out in the middle of nowhere, you always forget something.
Right.
And you've got to make the trip back. And it's just, and you know, when you're in a neighborhood, it's a 2-minute drive down the street to the local convenience store. Or, you know, it was just, there's just so many things that got me excited.
So this new vision was being rolled out by Generations Ministries director, Jeff Broadnax, about reimagining camp, looking at it differently. And what could that look like? What could that be? And there really wasn't much out there in our particular denomination. There was, I think, one place that had kind of done something like that. But with Crosswalk, with the camp that you guys were already doing, that we were doing, because mm-hmm. I was there at the time, what were the signs that it's like, you know what? I think that we do need to make that shift, because we just had this resurgence, you know, this whole change, and things were going really well, but then that all these this campgrounds things started changing, and then some of the challenges that we faced at the new campgrounds. What were some of the signs that it's like, maybe we should redo this? Because you mentioned, Mike, about soul searching.
Yes, yes. And that's the thing. We had been soul searching anyway over, you know, the decline somewhat. And while we had somewhat of a resurgence, it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't coming back to the original levels where we had, you know, more than 200 people at a camp, you know, in the earlier part of the 2000s. But the other piece that will always send you to soul searching is the money question. And while we really loved the new facility that we were able to find, that CJ helped find and had so many benefits to it, we finished that first camp and found out we were highly in the red.
Hmm.
So we looked at that and said, well, we just got to do this better. So let's say if we got this thing back up to over 200 people, then will it work out? Well, the way the cost structure worked, it actually would be worse. The more campers we'd get, the more underwater we'd be.
Wow.
So we need to be a smaller camp. Well, that's not going to work, and we're not going to be serving people. So that really helped with the soul searching, as well as just, you know, not having the original sizing. And in the background is all this going on that CJ mentioned, you know, was introduced at by Generations Ministries, that there's another way to do camp. And, you know, for some people, the first reaction was, oh, that's just, you know, day camp. It doesn't have the excitement. But the way it was cast, it was, you know, let's have a new vision. And we began to see there might be a way to do something very exciting and serve our local community right in our own neighborhood. And perhaps we could find a way that would be both financially feasible and also a much more beneficial outreach to families in a way that we could tie it back to the church, because we would see those families multiple times during the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't get us wrong, like, it was exciting, the thought of something new, mm-hmm. And the thought of God leading us to places we hadn't been before, but it was sad at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think anyone who is involved with a regional camp understands how much heart and passion and everything that we have that we put into camp, and we reap those benefits and what we see in those campers. Man, when you talk about changing that and taking that away, when it feels like the glue that holds us together, you know, it's hard. But the truth of the matter is, camp can't be the glue that holds us together.
Right.
Jesus is the glue that holds us together.
Yeah.
And we've got to follow him where he says to go. And I really feel like the passion that we put into camp, that heart and that putting everything we have into it, what if we did that in our local churches and in our local community? What would that look like?
Yeah.
What if we weren't so afraid of change and yet willing to follow the Spirit to uncharted waters?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was sad. There was grieving.
Yeah.
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 It's not easy. It wasn't just like, oh, this is easy, let's do it. It was heartbreaking.
It was gut-wrenching. It really was.
Well, and it was something almost completely different than what had been done for 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
Because it was a completely different environment. You weren't there for 6 days or however long you did camp. It was just a different animal almost. It was something different that we had to completely learn over.
Yeah.
Almost. You know, change is something that always is a little frightening.
Yeah.
But the flip side is excitement.
It is excitement as well. But I think the term that it was postured in was this one that CJ mentioned, reimagining camp.
Yeah.
That's where you say it's not change for change's sake or change because this is our idea, our better idea or something. It's reimagining. And I, to my way of understanding that word, when we reimagine, it is getting our vision on where Jesus might be leading things and imagine what he could do. That's reimagining camp. And we began to look at that seriously and trust in it that maybe Jesus had a better idea for camp than we did.
That'd be kind of strange.
Yeah,
right?
That the creator of the universe would actually have a better
idea. Could that happen?
And not to mention, how many more people can you serve when you don't have to charge $200, $300, $400, $500 plus per camper?
Yeah.
Because when you have a day camp, you don't have these overnight facilities and all these crazy meals all day. And, you know, there's a lot of money saving there too,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to get more kids, you know, more people to experience life and God's love, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it was hard to make that decision to, you know, stop crosswalk the way that we had always done crosswalk. I remember when, you know, Mike Rasmussen came to me and he goes, hey, this is what we're thinking. The Spirit was moving in me too, because I knew that something had to change. One of the things that I noticed was we were begging for people to come and serve, because one of the ways that we did camp was we asked the staff to pay as well. That helped bring down the cost for the campers, so the campers weren't having to pay $200, $300, $400, you know, because everybody was paying, you know, a particular amount. And so we were having to beg people to come and serve. And so when you're seeing this decline, you're like, God, what are you doing? When you don't see anything beyond that, but then you hear about what's going on up in this community and the traction that's occurring, and then you hear about this new vision of what that could look like and how it can actually be folded back into the local congregation and life on life can actually occur, it just makes sense. It just makes total sense.
Like you mentioned, you know, Mike Rasmussen and his original vision for Crosswalk Camp, and then the revisioning. And it brings to mind something else that he often taught us with regard to not only camp but other ministries, and that is each ministry has a life cycle. And some ministries are for a season. They rise, and then it's time to move on to another form of that ministry to be effective. And as we began to think about this concept of reimagining, we could see that our season for the original form of that regional camp was perhaps passing, but something much, perhaps potentially much more fruitful was right there in front of us and possible.
Yeah.
And not to mention, we don't know where the Holy Spirit is going to take these community camps. What happens when every church starts doing a small community camp? And they do this for a while, right? Well, then what happens when all these community camps in the region decide on top of that they're going to do one big regional camp a year, and we can go back to that. Now, we have people who are connected. They're already in a community together. They're already, you know, and now we can all come together and celebrate as a region. You know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily mean it's over.
Right.
But
it may look different.
It looks different.
It's creating a new foundation and potentially a feeder system for a future region camp.
God is an awesome author.
This might be a little biased, but what a great group of people. I really like those people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, their just heart for Jesus is just so evident.
Yeah.
And their passion is contagious.
That you can tell that there's this absolute excitement that they have for the church, for their community, but it all stems for their love of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You can just really tell.
Yeah, there's a commitment there.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. There really is. You know, Michelle, the thing that really stood out to me was their intentional self-reflection in all the aspects of camp. And I served there for many years, so mm-hmm. You know, I kind of know what they were going through at that point. But when I was there, we started noticing certain things in camp that just didn't seem to be doing well, and maybe even unhealthy. And so we started asking those tough questions.
Yeah.
And then they started asking the tough questions too after doing camp for almost 15 years. And these questions are really hard. I mean, why are the registration numbers declining? Are we doing and giving our absolute best to the campers and those who attend? Those are real questions to ask and really dive deep into.
Yeah, so, very strategic.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the biggest, most difficult question is, have we reached the end of this ministry's lifespan?
Yeah, there's emotion that has to be processed in that too.
Yeah.
Because people are invested in what they're doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So be sure to check out the show notes at the resources site, which is resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And then be sure to check out episode 2, which is live already. Like Michelle said, BOGO.
Jump on in.
So you don't have to wait. You can sit here and listen to this one. You can jump into the next episode and listen to that one. And in that second one, they will dive deeper into how the camp morphed into a ministry that serves and engages their community. And what's really amazing is that it directly ties to the life of the church. It's a really great episode. This first episode was kind of setting up for what you'll hear in episode 2, but getting to hear the backstory and what they went through the last 15 years was really important, I felt
yeah,
like.
Yeah, you have to know the why before you see the how of what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we jump off here, just as a quick reminder, the 2019 regional celebrations are coming up, and the theme is Healthy Leaders for Healthy Churches. Registrations are almost closed. It is closed for the West, so you can't make it to the West. But in Dallas, that celebration, registration closes April 15th. In Charlotte, April 30th. So go get registered. You don't want to miss it. You can find out more info about your regional celebration going to gci.org/events. Click on your region, and that's where you'll find location, dates, pricing, and you will be able to register. And this is a time where you can bring your ministry leaders and really come together as a team. You really want to hear the information that's being rolled out there and do it as a team.
Yeah, the opportunity to collaborate and then take it and contextualize it when you go home.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you don't want to miss this event. So we're happy that you guys were able to hang out with us in this episode one or part one of episode five. So be sure to go check out part two of episode five right now. I'm just mumbling all over myself right now.
That's cool. We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.